The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel is written to us by Luke. When the days for Jesus being taken up were fulfilled, he resolutely determined to journey to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On the way, they entered a Samaritan village to prepare for his reception there, but they would not welcome him, because the destination of his journey was Jerusalem, and they were enemies. When the disciple James and John saw this, they said, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to consume them?" Jesus turned and rebuked them, and they went on to the next village. As they were proceeding on their journey, someone said to him, "Lord, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said, "Foxes have dens, and birds of the sky have nests, but the human one has nowhere to rest his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, let me go and bury my father." But he answered him, "Let the dead bury the dead. You go and proclaim the kingdom of God." And another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to my family at home." And Jesus said, "No one who sets his hand to the plow and looks to what he left behind is fit for the kingdom of God." This is the gospel of the Lord. Well, let's be honest. If you were listening, and I hope you were, to all three readings, they sound like they're from a parallel universe. This is not describing the world you and I inhabit. And all I can say is maybe we're in the wrong world, or Jesus is. He's talking about something that's so big that those of us in small worlds are usually incapable of understanding him. Here in this gospel, he seems to even negate what we call the nuclear family, because he's got to get them to the big family. So let's build up to it. First of all, in the reading from Elijah, we see that, well, there's another thing. We don't even understand prophets for the most part. So when we read about Elijah the prophet handing on his gift to Elisha, we're not really sure what that means. There's probably a reason why we never heard much about prophets. You know what? Because prophets always critique the establishment, the priestly class and the political class. So because we've often been a part of those systems, we don't like people who criticize them. It's amazing how little we understand the prophetic gift. Then that second reading, from St. Paul to the Galatians, let me just reread a few verses. If I said these things to you without reading from Paul's letter, you would say, "I think he's a dangerous priest. We better get rid of him." "For freedom, Christ has set us free. The whole law, there's 500 and some laws in Leviticus and Numbers. He says the whole law is fulfilled in one statement: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, if I said that without quoting scripture, you'd say, "Well, this priest's getting a little dangerous, you know. There's a lot of laws we got to worry about." Well, read Paul, read Galatians, go home and read the fifth chapter of Galatians. And then he ends with something even more dangerous. I would have been kicked out of the seminary if I'd said this. "If you are guided by the Spirit, you are not under the law." Oh my gosh, where's that going to lead us? It led St. Augustine to say a most dangerous, equally dangerous thing: love God and do what you want. What can that mean? If you really, honestly have surrendered your heart to God, you don't need to worry about minor accidental laws. You really don't. They'll take care of themselves. You'll know which ones are important for love of neighbor, and you'll know which ones are merely accidents. And we can adjust to if there's a very real need. But that's dangerous thinking. And quite honestly, we can't put the gospel, we can't put such dangerous thinking in the hands of immature people. Now, I'm talking to you, because you're people who got up early on a Sunday morning, and I'm presuming you're not immature. So I can say something as the gospel, as dangerous as the gospel. Then we get to this gospel that I just read. Wow. So first of all, as you just heard, he's setting off to Jerusalem, passing through the South Valley, as it were, all right? He's on his way to the Heights, and he's passing through the other neighborhood, where they're not supposed to be. That's a different group of people over there. They're called Samaritans, and the Jews hate the Samaritans, and the Samaritans hate the Jews. And so you see the response when they are receiving Jesus. They say, should we call down fire from heaven to consume them? And Jesus turned and rebuked them. That's not what I'm into, creating tribes and groups. I'm not into building walls, if you want to make a contemporary application. God doesn't build walls. As Pope Francis says, God builds bridges. But it's much harder to build bridges than walls. And people love to build walls between groups. Jesus will have none of it. And then, that had to be problematic for you. Jesus seems to be criticizing things that you and I take for granted as good, as necessary, as wonderful. Place, I don't have anywhere to lay my head. If you're going to follow me, don't presume you're going to have a stable life ahead of you. Family. Let the dead bury the dead. It seems like it's a good and necessary thing, and I hope you do go to your father's funeral. But he says there's something even more important than that. You see, what's happened in most of history, we let the small family obstruct the big family. And we called it love, and sometimes it is, but we have a word for it now. Any of you in Al-Anon understand it? It's called codependency. A lot that's called love is codependency. And if you look at the great myths and stories of heroes and heroines, I hate to tell you this, but they always leave home. They always have to find there's a bigger world than just this tiny little picket fence of people like me. And because we haven't preached this full gospel, a lot of people have stayed behind their tiny picket fence inside of their nationality, their class, their religion, their group, their tribe. And Jesus is unable to proclaim the kingdom of God. You see, when you say, thy kingdom come, you're talking about the whole enchilada. God is a stand-in word for everything. If you're for God, if you say you love God, then what you're saying is, I love everything. No exceptions. No exceptions. So in that light, there's very few people who love God. Most of us love our own tribe. Our own little small family unit. And you know what the irony is? After a while, we don't even know how to love them very well because our heart is too small. That's the only way you can make sense out of this subversive gospel. I will follow you, Lord, but first, let me go home and say goodbye to my family. And Jesus said, no one who sets his hand to the plow and looks back is ready for this big picture. Brothers and sisters, most people continually rehash their past over and over and over and over and over again, which means they never leave it. And you all know people who are living 20 years ago with someone who hurt them or someone who messed them up. Without the gift of forgiveness, we all live in the past. And he says, don't even look back there. What we have in Jesus is a God of the future who has given you the key, the promise, the energy to let go of your hurts, to let go of what keeps you small and defensive and attacking, even in your mind, when you don't need to do it, even in your mind, you're free. For freedom, Christ has set us free. You were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. And if you are guided by this life-changing spirit, you are not under any law. I know I just said something to you very dangerous. And only those of you who are adult and mature and have learned how to love will be able to live it, or will even be able to understand it.